I have a guest in the studio, as I was warning you about earlier. It's Sue Noyes. Hello, Sue.
Hello, Bob.
Welcome to the studio. Thank you for coming in again.
Thank you. And, it's a pleasure.
She's live, as you can tell. Good to have you on the show again. I can't believe you keep on coming in. Now, I think where we better start, Sue, is what you've got a role which is with the board of the trust, and you've got a role within that as being chair of the trust. Could you tell us what it is? Just give us a brief run around of who and what.
Question. So I have the privilege of being the chair here. So that means that I chair board meetings, and we have those on a regular basis throughout the year to look at how we're doing and to take action where we need to. I also work alongside Andy as the chief exec. We have regular conversations every week, more than once every week, about various things that are going on. And I also work out in the community with some of the other health and social care partners as well. And more than that, and the bit that I love the most, I'm out and about looking at services, really understanding what's going on for people.
That's really good to hear, because I know we do this intro and I've heard you say this before, but I think that's one of the valuable parts of your role. You get out, you meet people, and in the corridor out here, they knew who you were?
People were saying hello, yes.
So yeah. You're known.
Yes.
They've got your number.
I think they have by now.
Now, I've got a very important question for you, Sue, before we get into the hospital stuff, all the detail. Are you a football fan?
I have learned, given some of the people in my family, to be a football fan and to know what's going on.
Oh, good.
And I do know what's going on in this city.
Oh, so, good for you. So what's the atmosphere like in the hospital with all this going on?
I think it's pretty good, actually. In fact, I can say that one of my fellow board members sent a message on WhatsApp saying, blah, 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 this is going to happen. And this will be really, really good for the hospital. And I'm so excited and all the rest of it. So it absolutely is there. I think people are really, really buoyed up by it. And well done, Sky Blues.
Absolutely. It really is. You know, we're doing live matches.
Right.
Live commentaries that they've received at bedside when we have
Fantastic.
The matches. So this Friday evening, 7 o'clock the show starts, 8 o'clock kickoff. Moz and Clive do commentary, and Ashley as well from the stadium in wherever they are. They're away,
Fantastic.
Aren't they? Blackburn, isn't it? Yeah.
I think so, yeah. Yes. But these things matter.
They do indeed. Well, okay. Well, that's it then. Oh, no, we've got to talk about a few other things.
Go on.
Now, there was a news item this morning. I heard it when I came into the studio. Wes Streeting, who's the Secretary of State for Health and Social Care, was responding to some issues that have emerged about how women are being treated in the NHS. His comment was, NHS has a culture of medical misogyny. What do you make of that?
Personal view, sometimes I think Wes Streeting likes to make a statement to have an impact, and I can understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think that's true? I'm not sure I think that's completely true. I think it could be in certain areas, but I think I've met an awful lot of very good clinicians, both male and female, where I've had no sense at all of misogyny or anything like that. I think there are sometimes you can feel that there might be a club, if you like, but that means good working relationships sometimes as well.
Yep.
So I wouldn't say that there's an absolute culture of it. No, I think that's not entirely true or helpful.
And certainly, by that you're saying you haven't spotted it here at all.
No, but if I do, I tend to kind of pick up or have a quiet word or something like that. In the same way as I would if I spotted something that felt, say, slightly racist or judgmental. Those kind of things we're on the lookout for.
Well, we're on that sort of area. We had a news item as well this last few weeks about a blind patient. Blind or partially blind patient saying that wasn't treated too well. In this hospital, was saying that people were coming onto the ward, they were shadows and they weren't introduced to me, not being helped with glasses of water, whether you could find them or not on the side table.
Right.
What do you make of that?
Obviously, I don't know the detail of that particular case, but obviously anything like that, we take it really seriously. And when people write to me, and I do encourage them to write to me if they've had a less than positive experience here, we do investigate. Now, lots of people, I have a badge myself, everybody's badge will say, hello, my name is, because it's really, really important. Obviously, if this is a blind person, then there should have been extra efforts made to do that. I do know that the team are investigating. I do know we do things like putting it on the wall so that everybody can see, that we ask for things like the menus, obviously, to be read out, not just placed there, that there's an extra call bell. Things like that to make those what we call reasonable adjustments, the same as you would do in a place of work. We try to do all of those. What happened with this particular case, I can't say the detail, but the team I know are investigating, and obviously we will apologise if there's something that is amiss and hasn't been done as it should have been done.
And presumably take some sort of action so that everybody's aware of it.
We do. I do know our chief nursing officer, Tracy, has been reinforcing some of these messages and putting it out there about let's reinforce this, particularly at handovers when, you know, there's a switch from one set of staff to the next set of staff. They always have what are the key messages we need to get across this time? And that will be one of those messages that they're getting across.
Yes, I often forget that. It's a really good briefing point, isn't it, where they do
it
change
absolutely.
Over.
Absolutely. It's a critical point, you know, when people come on at 8 o'clock in the morning, what they've had in the time just leading up to that, so that you know. And, of course, all things like the big whiteboards, the huddle boards, as we call them, there are key messages on there. Don't forget such and such.
Great. Okay, that's good. Good to know about those two. Now, what we do on here is, you know, we take the sort of national news, as these items are really in many ways, and bring them into local situation here. And we've talked before, and we've got to pick it up again, because waiting times are still at 7.25 million across the NHS England.
Yeah.
What's it like here, Sue? How's it going, and what's the improvements going on?
So what I can say is... It is extremely busy, and I know we'll probably come on and touch on the recent resident doctor strike as well and the impact of that. We were set a target by NHS England for the end of March, because we've just finished 1 year, if you like. We're now in the new year, where we had to achieve just over 60% of our patients waiting no longer than 18 weeks. We think after all our validation, because it does take a few weeks just to go through and check everything, we'll be somewhere around the 59 to 59.5%. So not quite there, but much, much closer than we were when we started the year.
Good.
That being said, there are still some long waiters. So there are some people who are waiting over 65 weeks. But our average, if we took everybody on the waiting list and divided by the number, our average when we looked in February was 19 weeks. So there's an average waiting time, but obviously, and I know as I'm talking here, some people will feel that they've waited much, much longer than that, because that's, as I say, just a mathematical average. So we are working very, very hard, and there are some particular specialties where we have long waits, others that are really improving, I'm pleased to say. Particularly, we focused really hard on some of our patients with cancer. I think I talked about this
last time,
Bob, where we didn't want to take people out of order. We wanted to work through our waiting list to make sure that we were seeing the people who had waited the longest. And we didn't want to kind of, I'd hesitate to use the word game the system, but we didn't want to kind of play any games like that. That I'm pleased to say is
That's
improving.
Good. And you mentioned the resident doctor strike, which is now over. What impact was that on the hospital?
So we had just over 50% of our resident doctors who went out on strike. But I'm really pleased to say that we only had to cancel 1.2% of planned activity. So just over 98%, nearly 99% of everything that should have happened carried on. And there was a small amount. Now, again, apologies to those members of the public who might have had their operation or whatever cancelled, but considering the proportion that went on strike, that feels like a pretty good record to have been able to,
that sounds
to achieve.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Okay, well, let's have some music, then we'll come back and continue this. That's for excellent. And delighted to hear the issue around the misogyny issue that the Secretary of State raised, how you feel about that.
Yes.
It'll be interesting to see how that develops in the news, won't it?
Coventry Hospital Radio.
And with me in the studio still is Sue Noyce. She's chair of the board here at the UHCW NHS Trust. I'm going to have to write that down. You know, I get the use of the NHS is all the right way. Oh, never mind. Sue, thanks for staying.
That's okay.
And we've been talking about all things on the waiting list and the resident doctor strike. But one of the other key things that comes out regularly now, about every quarter, isn't it?
Is
NHS England league tables. Now, when it came out in the first time, it was a horrendous surprise to us all. We talked about it last time.
We did.
Then you moved up from March to about 96, which is not an unreasonable movement to make. But certain performance metrics were poor for urgent emergency care, cancer treatments, which you've already talked about a wee bit, and ambulance response times. What's been done about these things, and where are you now on the league table, do you think?
So, obviously, as you say, we had quarter one that came out in September. We had one just after Christmas, and there's just been another one where we've moved up just marginally, but we're now at 92, but still in segment three.
Right.
A lot of that we knew, and I said just before the break, that we knew we had some long waiters, but we wanted to take them in order. So we knew that that wouldn't see us move up significantly. But I'm pleased to say that we've got some real improvements in certain areas that we think will help us move even further.
Right.
So, for example, diagnosis of cancer, we're actually the second in the country for getting that done the fastest, which is something we're really proud of.
Excellent.
That is a fabulous thing. On our finances, and the reason why I say this is important, because there was an override, you could never go beyond segment three if you had a financial deficit, but we'd have achieved our financial position, so we're hoping that that will help us going into next year. Urgent and emergency care, which we didn't talk about before, the average across the Midlands, all the Midlands trusts, is about 72%. We're at 70.5, so slightly lower, but working really, really hard to improve on where we are, and that is something that's been steadily going up as
Good.
Well.
Great.
You also asked me about ambulance response times. Now, the response times is something that the ambulance trusts themselves look at.
Understand.
We look at the bit about handovers.
Yep.
Generally, and I get a report every Monday lunchtime, generally we're around the kind of 20 minutes for a handover process, which is fairly reasonable in terms of that. But as I say, there's a lot of work going on in terms of kind of urgent emergency care, as well as the kind of planned care that we were talking about.
Right.
A few now, weeks ago.
Do you have much corridor care as a result of
We've taken a decision here that we don't want corridor care, so we try to avoid that at all times. What we're concentrating on really is about that ambulance handover time. That's the important thing, so that people are not waiting in an ambulance, and that's going to be an issue for us to keep working on, particularly as well.
Right. So the flow through the hospital is still a difficult area to deal with.
It is, but as I say, we want the care for people. And I know many colleagues in other trusts do use corridor care, but we try very hard not to, because we want people to be in the proper bays and things like that.
Good. Okay. That's great. Going back to the factor in segment three, if you get your finances right, you're moving to presumably segment two. Is that right?
If everybody else moves in a kind of consistent direction, the slight problem we've got with the league tables is we kind of know where we are on the components within it, but you don't know how everybody else is doing, and then you're all ranked as to where you are.
Oh, yes.
So you never actually know until they're actually published where you're going to be ranking. The other complicating factor this year is we know that they're changing some of the indicators that they have previously been used. Mm. So when we start the new year, as we're just into, the next round of those, which will probably be June time when we get the first cut, we will have to see what else is included in there. But we certainly, as you can see, I have a little piece of paper that
you
monitors it all the time. And it's good to see more green appearing on some of the indicators.
That's good to hear. Great stuff.
But it depends what comes out as the things that we need to be doing.
In terms of finances, there was an issue reported, I think it was in the Telegraph on Monday, about the fact that although hospitals having a deficit is now not allowed, you've got a problem, particularly with the league table. But if they're not allowed, therefore, and you've got more things to do, where does the money come from to deal with these things? If you haven't got the money to deal with them.
You have to find a way of making that happen, and that means rearranging your patient budgets and making savings from one place to be able to use it,
right,
to spend it somewhere else, unless there is an allocation from central government.
For special situations.
For a special situation.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, that's great. Okay. Thank you for that. And the other thing we were going to talk about was the radiographers, sonographers.
Yes.
You're hiring them in. Have we got a problem here? There was nationally, it was reported again. Is it a problem here?
Generally, no. Generally, we actually do better. I was looking at the stats for coming in today. We're fully staffed at Rugby. We have very small numbers of vacancies across our things like CT.
Yep.
The one area is the one that you mentioned, and this is a national issue about sonographers, so ultrasounds. Mm. Not just ultrasounds for when you go for a baby, but ultrasound gets used for lots of different things.
Yes.
That is a challenging area for us, but it is for pretty much everywhere as well. There is a bit of a seller's market, if you like, I guess that's the phrase.
Yeah.
So it's the one area where sometimes we need to use agency staff. We work really hard not to use agency staff, but because we want to protect those patient pathways, we try and use agency staff. But it is an issue around ultrasound. Other than that, no, I'm pleased to say radiography is looking really good.
Excellent. Good to hear. I know I had an MRI on my knee, as you know, got this bad knee, and that took ages. And what they were saying was they hadn't got the staff to actually analyse the MRI data. This wasn't here, this was at Warwick Hospital, and I'm not having a go at what they've been, brilliant, I have a problem with them.
Okay.
I wondered if that was a problem here, though?
No, it's not. No? For radiography, i.e. doing the scan, no, not at all. We had no gaps in MRI.
Right.
For radiology, which is the interpretation, that might be slightly different. That's the kind of consultant level, knowing what to look for.
And there's no problem with that here in this hospital?
Not that I've picked up so far.
That's great. Good to hear. Okay, wonderful. Well, I think we'd better let you go. Can't keep you any longer, otherwise the hospital will collapse.
I'm sure that's not true.
So. Look, Sue, thank you very much for coming in again. Thank you very much for the way you go about preparing for and answering the questions. I'm most impressed. Thank you.
Bless you.
We'll see you again in about 3 or 4 months.
We'll see you three or four months.
Yeah.
Always a pleasure, Bob.
Thank you. Good to see you.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Now.